Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make The Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We bring in columnist from the Register Guard, Austin Meek, who wrote about it earlier today. Austin, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you doing? Good to talk to you. It's been a while.
It has been. It's been far too long. It's good to talk to you again. And it's a fun conversation we're about to have, because what you wrote today, I actually very much agree with. And I've been to an awful lot of games at Matthew Knight Arena. But this one, even though it's in December and it's the opener of the Pac-12 season, this game coming in with a lot of hype and a lot of attention seems a little bit different than any game that's been played at Matthew Knight Arena.
Well, that's my feeling about it, and it's partly a comment on the state of Pac-12 basketball for the first couple of years the arena was open, because there just weren't very many good teams coming through there. But when you look back on the big games that have been played at Matthew Knight Arena, Arizona came in a couple times as a top five team, but this is going to be the first time that two ranked Pac-12 teams play in that building. The only other matchup of ranked teams was last year when Oregon played Baylor, and the Ducks snuck in the poll that day at number 25. So there just haven't been a lot of matchups of ranked teams in that building.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you look at kind of the history of the arena. And I remember when it opened in 2011, right after Oregon was coming off of the national title appearance in football. And you're right. The Pac-12 conference was down for a while. It was a one bid conference, I think, for one of the years during that. But also, Austin, I think it's fair to say this is really one of the first years since Dane Altman has taken over that Oregon's come in as a not just a tournament favorite, but one of those teams that a lot of people are expecting to go to the Sweet 16 and beyond.
Yeah, and also as a Pac-12 title contender, you know, even last year, people weren't looking at Oregon in that way until really the end of January and into February. Oregon was unranked at the start of conference play last year, lost at Oregon State, their first Pac-12 game last season. So this is really the first time that Oregon goes into Pac-12 play with that target as being a potential Pac-12 title contender. And they were the favorite in the preseason. I think that mantle now has been passed to UCLA. Mm-hmm. I think if you took a revote on the Pac-12 poll, people would pick UCLA to win it. So it's kind of a chance for Oregon to show that, hey, we are still the team to beat, even though UCLA has sort of become the trendy pick.
Austin Meek, the Register Guard down in Eugene, joining me here on the BFT. And Austin, you mentioned the non-conference that Oregon has had. It's the exact same non-conference that they had, or the exact same non-conference record that they had a year ago. But as you mentioned, very different expectations coming into this season. And it seems to be a lot of inconsistency. What has been maybe a couple of the keys to the inconsistency for Oregon this early season?
Well, it's funny because you really thought continuity was going to be Oregon's strength with everything they had coming back from last season. But when I've watched Oregon this year, continuity has been the thing that it seems like they're missing. You know, on paper, they have four starters coming back from last year. But when you look at the lineups they've been using, there's a lot of new guys in there. You know, Dylan Ennis wasn't really part of the team last year. Peyton Pritchard wasn't part of the team last year. So that nucleus they had coming back, those guys really haven't played together at any point this year. I mean, even when, you know, as soon as Dylan Brooks got back in the starting lineup, then Chris Boucher got hurt. So it's been a process of blending the pieces together. I think a big part of it is the fact that with Dylan Brooks coming back from the foot surgery, he just is not yet back in the groove. He hasn't been himself yet. It looks like maybe he's been trying to do a little bit too much. And they need to get him right because he's such a big part of what they do.
Well, and let's talk about the injuries. I know that Chris Boucher is a game-time decision. I saw you put out on Twitter that seemed to be moving around pretty good during practice. Do you expect him to suit up and play tonight?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. He's going to give it a try. How many minutes he plays, how effective he is, I'm not sure. But I think they're definitely going to put him out there on that ankle and see how he does.
And then also with Brooks, it seemed as though from the beginning of the year, this was kind of that target point for him. I know that the getting back and getting in shape and finding a rhythm within this team has been a process throughout the non-conference. But it seemed to me, Austin, that this game in particular, especially when Oregon realized and Dane Altman realized how good UCLA was going to be, that this was hopefully when he was going to start peaking on his comeback. Would you agree?
That's kind of how I looked at it going into it, was that if Oregon could have Dylan Brooks back 100% by Pac-12 play, they would be in pretty good shape. And it seems like he's healthy. You know, it seems like the recovery process from that foot surgery went as well as you could expect. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't clicked yet with him. You know, there's a lot of pressure on Dylan Brooks. When you go into a season as a preseason All-American, you want to live up to that. And when you're on limited minutes for a big part of the non-conference schedule, maybe there's a little bit of a tendency, you know, to try to get your points in the minutes that you have. Knowing that you've got a lot to live up to, but hopefully, from Oregon's perspective now, this is the start of everything coming together, and Dylan Brooks has had that time to work his way back in. You know, he's back to playing his full minutes again, back in the starting lineup, so hopefully, from their perspective, this is when it really starts to click.
You know, another interesting part of this team has been Tyler Dorsey, Austin, and, you know, early on in the season, he went through a very, very tough shooting slump where he looked like he couldn't hit the ocean if he was on the beach. He seems to have pulled out of it a little bit. Do you think Tyler Dorsey has kind of got that rhythm back and taken that role as a scorer on?
Yeah, he started to look a little bit more like the Tyler Dorsey we saw last season. You know, I think what you said about him sort of applies to the team as a whole. Oregon just hasn't shot the ball very well this year. You look at their three-point shooting percentage, it's down at the bottom of the Pac-12. I think Stanford is the only team that's shot a lower percentage from three-point range. So, you know, that was something that Dana Altman pointed out last year. As good as Oregon was last year, they weren't a great shooting team. They didn't shoot a great percentage from the outside. And I think they hoped that they would be a better shooting team this year with some of the freshmen they brought in, Peyton Pritchard and Keith Smith. But that hasn't materialized so far. And Tyler Dorsey's a guy who really needs to knock down the outside shots for them. You know, it's not a team with a bunch of just pure shooters that are going to bomb three-pointers on you, but Tyler Dorsey's the one guy who, you know, is really should be a consistent threat from outside, and they need him to find a shot.
You know, it seemed, Austin, every time I've heard Dana Altman speak and a lot of post-game press conferences both you and I have been to, the guy always talks about defense. He almost refuses to talk about offense unless it's struggling. But, I mean, defense is going to be a very big key tonight, I think, for both teams. You mentioned it in your column that UCLA is an incredibly talented team, but they do not defend very well. Oregon has kind of been erratic at times. I mean, how big is the defensive end of the floor going to be in tonight's ballgame?
Well, Dana Altman said this yesterday. Oregon does not have the firepower to hang with UCLA in a shootout. They're going to have to defend at a high level just to have a chance in this game. I don't expect Oregon just to take the air out of the ball and try to play slow. That's not how they play. Oregon likes to get up and down. UCLA likes to get up and down. So I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be fast-paced. But Oregon cannot just let UCLA have any shot they want. Oregon has to defend the three-point line. UCLA shoots a bunch of three-pointers, makes a bunch of three-pointers. The strength of Oregon's defense is on the inside. You know, with the shot blockers they have, Oregon's been one of the best interior defensive teams in the country. So Oregon's really got to make UCLA work, you know, make UCLA take some contested shots in the paint, alter some shots. That's what Oregon does well. If UCLA gets a lot of open looks on the perimeter, it's going to be really tough for Oregon to hang with them.
Austin Meek from the Eugene Register Guard joining me here on the Bald-Faced Truth. And Austin, kind of getting back to the theme of your column and the biggest game yet at Matthew Knight Arena. And as I'm sure you're well aware, one of the biggest topics when it comes to Matthew Knight Arena and its short history has always been atmosphere. I mean, it seems that no matter what, every single time you talk Oregon basketball, you have to talk about atmosphere. And I know there's going to be a lot of the old guard that will always say it's never going to be the same as MacArthur Court. And I'm probably one of those guys, but coming into this game and really coming into this season with Oregon being a Pac-12 favorite and making the Elite Eight and having the number one seed last year, has the atmosphere at Matthew Knight Arena changed at all?
Well, you're right about the fact that Matthew Knight Arena is never going to be MAC Court. And the people who have really strong memories of Matt Court are always going to look back on that and have kind of a nostalgic view of what Matt Court was like. And I've felt all along that what Oregon needs at Matthew Knight is just to, you know, find an identity there. It's not going to be Matt Court, but you'll find something about Matthew Knight Arena that the fans can really latch onto. And I think they've done that for the most part. You know, the atmosphere there, it's kind of hit and miss. You know, they'll have really good crowds one night. The next night, maybe not such a great crowd. But the one thing that's been constant is Oregon has had a lot of success at Matthew Knight Arena. You know, 33 wins in a row there now. And granted, you look back at that streak, there's not a lot of top 10 teams that Oregon's been beaten, or even ranked teams in that 33-game stretch. But still, to win that many games in a row at home says you're doing something right, and I think the fans have gotten on board with that. But this will really be the test. You know, if that streak really has teeth and Matthew Knight Arena really is one of the toughest places in the country to play, then tonight is the night that it should show up and the fans should really bring it, and it should be a really intimidating atmosphere for UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough bit of circumstances. Before you came on the show, I did my silly hot take about how I dislike the Pac-12 playing basketball games at 6 o'clock. I'll never understand why, other than putting it on ESPN2 and having a game at 6 o'clock. I think it just kills the atmosphere in an arena playing a game that early. But other than that, it is a tough circumstance that this game is scheduled so early. And I know that the Pac-12 didn't do that on purpose, and UCLA was kind of a surprise team. But I mean, it is a tough spot, I think, for both programs, but more importantly for Oregon to come right out of the gates and play this game so early before the students get there, before the new year even hits.
Yeah, you wish that this game could be played like in February when all the students are on campus and college football's over and everybody's focused on college basketball. I mean, you put this game on a Saturday in February, it's like potentially the marquee game of the weekend. And, you know, to play it on a Wednesday in December with a bunch of bowl games going on, it sort of gets lost in the shuffle. And I think that's too bad. And that's part of the reason why I'm really curious what the atmosphere is going to be like tonight. Because, you know, the really good basketball schools, it doesn't matter when the game is played. If it's a big game, the crowd shows up. And I think the crowd's going to show up tonight. I've been told it's a sellout. You know, we'll see what the student turnout is like because students are on break. So, you know, who knows what kind of atmosphere is going to be from that perspective. But, you know, this is a game when, you know, the crowd should show up, even though it's not the ideal scheduling time.
Austin Meek, Eugene Register Guard, thanks for the time, Austin. Enjoy the ball game tonight, and good talking to you again, my friend.
All right, man, you too, anytime.